Read from 2 Thessalonians again. And this is still the introduction to the doctrine of election. This will be the fourth message. But I will begin now to try to move on a little. But let me read again. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 13 and 14 mainly, because they, in these verses, are encapsulated the truth of what I'm trying to give in these series of messages. And what Paul writes is, verse 13, "But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth, whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ." Now remember, I mentioned week before last, and then even last week, I didn't really get into it because I had some other passages I wanted to give you before I got there. But you remember that I mentioned the fact that the doctrine of election is important and comforting.
Yes, sir.
Now, of course, that, in just saying that, when I wrote that, I thought that's a vast understatement. But nevertheless, those things are true. The doctrine of election is important and it's comforting. But let's look at this fact that the doctrine of election is important, and you can turn to it or be turning to it. Ephesians chapter 1 is where I will read from first. The doctrine of election is important. Now, when I here am talking about the importance of the doctrine of election, I am talking about vital importance.
Yes, sir.
When I say here that the doctrine of election is important, I'm talking about if the doctrine of election were not true, we would have nothing.
That's right.
Ephesians chapter 1. And let me just read verse 3 and 4, but the main emphasis will be in the middle of these. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ."
Amen.
"According," and then here it is, "according as he chose us in him."
Amen.
Now, I'll just stop there for the sake of time. Although I'm probably not going to save any time by doing that, because I got to mention the very fact took place before the foundation of the world. But
Amen.
Let us notice here that all of our blessings are where? In Christ. Now, here's the question. How many spiritual blessings exist outside of Christ? If all spiritual blessings exist in Christ, then there are no spiritual blessings outside of Christ.
Amen.
Okay, right? This is just, you know, a logical sequence here from the truth of the Word of God. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ," but even there it is "according as he has chosen us in him."
Amen.
So therefore, the election is absolutely essential to our blessing. Let me say that to deny election did not stop the election from taking place. To deny the election won't stop God's election from bringing about what it was purposed to bring about. But to deny the election is to deny that spiritual blessings exist. Because there are no spiritual blessings outside of Christ according to the election. People who despise the election, in truth, despise the blessings. What they're actually wanting is something else. Not spiritual blessings. They want some eternal thought of physical blessing. "I just don't want to go to hell." They really don't want to go to heaven and worship Christ. They just don't want to go to hell.
That's it.
But the spiritual blessing in Christ is not just missing hell.
No.
It is being able to eternally worship and adore Christ as he ought to be worshiped and adored.
Amen.
You know, a lot of people would just assume when we die it just ends. And God just annihilated us, you know. Just made whatever we are to cease to exist. Just as long as they don't have to go to hell.
Exactly.
And a lot of people want to go to heaven because they actually believe that somehow heaven is going to be a perfect earth.
Yeah.
Now there will be a new heaven and a new earth.
Yes, sir.
Wherein dwells righteousness.
Amen.
But the perfection of that earth will so far rise above what we now know. That as the scripture says, all this world and the works that are therein shall be what? Burned up.
Amen.
They will cease to exist as we think of them.
Yes, sir.
Farming will not be the same kind of farming.
Exactly.
And I simply don't mean that in some physical way. It will be a totally different thing to do something in this earth without the fall,
exactly,
without the curse,
yeah,
and being in the presence of God Almighty Himself.
Yes, sir.
No, apart from election, there are no spiritual blessings of any kind. I have no hope of spiritual blessing apart from election. It's just that, it is that important. It's that vital. But moving on, in the election, God is also honored.
Yes.
And that's the primary thing.
In
the election, God is also honored. Now look at it, the first part of verse 3. What does he say? Blessed be the God.
Amen.
See? Blessed. That's a phrase of adoration. That's a phrase of praise. That's a phrase that tends toward worship. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Why? He is the author of all these spiritual blessings in the heavenly places, in Christ, according as He chose us in Christ.
Amen.
You see, God is not truly honored as He should be honored, even in the way He ordained for men to honor Him, apart from the election.
Yeah.
You see, if we leave out the election, we're leaving out a vital part of God's honor.
Yes, sir.
Right? Because it's blessed be God because He did this.
Mm-hmm.
And even more, it's not just blessed be God because He did this. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who? It is the actual blessing of God,
yes,
that
sir,
Paul is expressing here.
Yeah.
Not just a mere sense of gratitude that God gave us something we didn't deserve. You see?
Mm-hmm.
All of this, let's go back. I won't turn back to it myself, but 2 Thessalonians 2:13. We are bound to give thanks to God.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So we see that apart from election, there's no blessing of any spiritual value, and in election, God is honored. You see, God chose us because He was pleased to glorify Himself. God chose to bless us because God was pleased to honor Himself. God chose to bless us with all spiritual blessings because God was pleased to honor Himself. Had God not wanted to do that in the realm of a creation, we would have had nothing.
That's it.
Nothing. So again, God is honored in the election. And I read this quote to you before, but I want to read this quote to you again. This is a quote from Pink's book on election and justification. But Pink is here quoting Calvin. And here's the quote. We shall never, and he's talking about us, people, men, not we theologians necessarily, but it's we, God's people, mankind. We shall never be clearly convinced, as we ought to be, that our salvation flows from the fountain of God's free mercy till we are acquainted with His eternal election, which illustrates the grace of God by this comparison, that He adopts not all promiscuously to the hope of salvation, but He gives it to some, He gives to some what He refuses to others.
Amen.
Ignorance of this principle evidently detracts from the divine glory and diminishes real humility. If then we need to be recalled to the origin of election to prove that we obtain salvation from no other source than the mere good pleasure of God, then they who desire to extinguish this principle do all they can to obscure what ought to be magnificently and loudly celebrated. Election, in other words, is not just some secret doctrine for the prime few.
That's right.
Election is not just a doctrine for the elect. It's a doctrine that all men should hear because God is to be honored.
Yes, sir. That's it.
And God is to be honored in electing some and also and also in refusing others.
Yes, sir.
I did not always see that. I did not begin with that understanding. I began with starting to see the glory of God in the election, but it's almost like the reprobation, the rejection was kind of some negative, bad side effect.
Yeah.
Right? As though, and it needed some kind of explanation to make it a little more soothing and palatable to my thoughts and my mind. And as time goes on, God finally teaches you, just quit fighting, bow down to my word, and honor me. Because that's what it's all about anyway. God was pleased to honor himself.
Exactly.
And we, by his free good pleasure, happen to be partakers in God deciding to honor himself.
Sir.
By him choosing us and choosing to bless us according to that election with all spiritual blessings in the heavenly places in Christ. Now, I'm not going into this too much, but the fact is I have all them spiritual blessings whether I realize them or not.
That's right.
They're there.
Yes, sir.
It says, who hath blessed us? According to the election, not according to even anything he does in time, not according to regeneration, not according to conversion. He's blessed us with all spiritual blessings in the heavenly places according as he chose us. Therefore, I have them. I can bank on them even when I don't feel them.
Exactly.
I can hold to them by faith even when I don't see them. And the fact is, a lot of times we don't see him. Because the most of what God has done is what he's done for us.
Yes.
Not what he's done to us.
Exactly.
Now, do you get any of that? Mm-hmm. Most of what God has done when it comes to our blessing has to do with what he's done for us, not what he's done to us.
Exactly.
You know, if it's just he fed us, well, he feeds the reprobate too.
That's right.
Right? If it is that we are at times allowed to have a job and pay our bills and to some small degree enjoy some of the pleasures of God's green earth, the reprobate get that too.
That's right.
And sometimes far more than the elect of God do they not?
Exactly.
Even in the fact that he regenerated us, right? And converted us. That's a great blessing. That's something he did to us.
Yeah.
But you know what? He left the flesh there.
That's right. He did.
And he didn't have to, but he was pleased to constantly remind us what we really are.
Yes.
Apart from him.
Amen.
You see, most of our spiritual blessings have to do with what he's done for us, not what he's done to us. Now, granted, our regeneration is something he's done for us, but I'm using those words to distinguish those things that God has done for us that we don't even know anything about other than through his word.
Exactly.
When Christ died for us, we had no part nor lot in any of that action.
No.
He did it by himself on our behalf.
Amen.
And thank God we'll never know what that was like.
Exactly.
That's the whole point. We'll never know what that... We will not ever know what it truly is to be forsaken of God.
Amen.
Although we are so blessed depraved, we're going to claim that somewhere along our Christian life. God left me. God, why did you do this to me? Huh? And he ain't done anything bad to us. He's done to us far more than what we deserve in the way of blessing.
Yes, sir.
Right? You know? It is amazing how depraved we are. But nevertheless, thank God, it is according to the election that all these blessings exist. And this is, remember, I know that's a point. I don't mean to belabor it, but I don't know that it really sticks as it ought to all spiritual blessings. There are no other spiritual blessings apart from the election.
That's right. Amen.
I mean, it's not like, well, election deals with certain blessings, and now we got other spiritual blessings that have to do with other things. No, election is all bound to, all of it's bound up in election. That's pretty daggone important, isn't it?
Yes, sir. Exactly.
And let me tell you, if something honors God, that makes it important enough.
Amen.
It makes it vital, right? Yeah. So it is to be loudly and magnificently praised, sounded forth. Let us not be ashamed of God's election.
Amen. That's it.
Let us not be ashamed of that.
Amen.
Now, moving on. I said that election is comforting, and I simply used its many things here. And this is not meant to be an all-inclusive list, mind you. These are just a few things from Scripture that I've seen that I want to point out. But I'm headed in. And when I talk about comfort, how we talk about election's important, I'm talking about it's important whether we realize election exists or not.
Yeah.
The election was vital. But election also has actual benefits for us that we can experience.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Mason, there are things, because of the election, there are things that God's people, there are those blessings that we can actually enjoy.
Mm-hmm.
That we can know about and feel, Joe, and metaphorically, we can taste them to where it's real. According to Romans chapter 8, and some of these are my own phrasings of this. And let me turn there first, and I'll give you the list, and then we'll look at the specific areas. Romans chapter 8, here's what I got. Here's the list. Election imparts comfort.
Yes, sir.
Election imparts courage. Election imparts hope. Election imparts praise to God. We've already looked at that.
Yes, sir.
But that one was God's going to be honored whether we praise Him or not. You see, but this one is where men pray. Election imparts praise to God. Election imparts perseverance. But there also, election also imparts some other things. But we'll look at those later. So first of all, election imparts comfort. Romans chapter 8, verse 31. That's where I will begin.
Yes, sir.
What shall we then say to these things? And it's not just, it's, this here is not actually a rhetorical question. It's a question that can be answered, but all so insufficiently.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us?
Yes.
I know that oft times, maybe all the time, I fear I have to say, I am so dull. I am so incapable. In spite of all that I feel God's done to me, I still feel so dull and so incapable that I'm afraid I still don't really get that. If God is on my side, nothing can be against me.
Amen.
And He's not just, I said it that way for a reason, He's not. He is on our side.
Yes, sir.
But He's also for us. See, that's not just God says, all right, I'll just, you know, the devil said you put a hedge about him. He did a whole lot more than that.
Yes, sir.
Huh? God was for him.
Yes, sir.
God took the hedge down and He was still for him. So it wasn't the hedge that was God being for him.
That's right.
It was not the hedge that was for him. Bless God, it was God that was for him.
Amen.
Even when the hedge was down. You see the point? If God is for us, who can be against us? That's rhetorical now. Who can? No one.
Amen.
No one. And somebody says, well, cigarettes might be. Cigarettes ain't got a soul. They can't be against you. They might give you cancer and you might die from it, but they can't be against your soul.
No.
Cigarettes don't kill your soul.
No.
And I'm not promoting that you smoke either. But do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Alcohol is not going to affect your soul.
Exactly.
You know what affects your soul, don't you? It's when men overindulge in it and then begin to turn on God.
That's right.
That's the problem with it. Spicy pizza will not affect your soul.
That's right.
You know why? Because spicy pizza ain't got no soul.
Exactly.
It might tear your stomach up.
Mm-hmm.
It might eat a hole in your stomach to where you have an ulcer, right? And you might die because you insist on eating it when the doctor has told you it's eating your guts out.
Yeah.
But you know what it's going to do? All it can do is kill your body.
Exactly.
But it can't destroy your soul.
And
you remember what our Lord said, you don't even fear men.
Yeah.
Because in truth, that's all they can do.
Yeah.
You see, men don't cause other men to go to hell. God determined that because of rebellion, because of sin, men go to hell.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? When a man goes to hell, or before, when a man stands or a woman stands before the great white throne judgment, they will be judged according to their own works, not somebody else's.
Yeah.
Not somebody else's.
That's right.
Now, that's not to say that we cannot be responsible or that God will not hold men accountable for what we say to other people that affects other people. There's a part where that is especially true of God's people. We're to care about how we conduct ourselves one toward another.
Yes, sir.
It's to be something we're to give great concern to, is it not?
Yes, sir.
How we conduct ourselves one toward the other. But the point is, your soul don't hang on me. Your soul don't even hang on what I preach up here this morning.
Yeah.
Because if it does, and I turn to error, and I somehow am able to turn you into that error, you're a goner because of me, and ain't nothing you can do about it.
Yeah.
Right?
That's it.
You see, we know the truth of Scripture is God Almighty is in sovereign control.
Yeah.
And, I'm going to get ahead of myself where it brings hope. Nevertheless, we talk about it imparts comfort. Man, I haven't even... look at it. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be that against us? But this is not just some theory based upon some mere word God tells us.
Exactly.
This is not just we read the Bible and God says, I love you and I'm for you and I'm on your side. Now just believe me and trust me.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Now, he could have said that, and that if that's all he was pleased to tell us, that would have been good enough if that's what he was pleased. But look at what he were actually revealed. If God be for us, who can be against us? And what is Paul's response? And what is it that the Spirit moves him to flow into next? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all. How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Boy, I wish I hadn't have got that. Well, you needed it. That's why you got it.
Yep. Yes, sir.
You know what I mean? And here it is. And somebody said, but why did I lose that? Because God, you needed it for time.
Yeah.
You didn't need it for the whole time, just a part of the time. That's why you lost it now.
Exactly.
Well, why don't I have this? Because right now, anyway, at least right now, you don't need it.
Amen.
Right. See, the point is, if he spared not his own son, seeing the whole thing, he did not spare his son. He delivered him up for us all. Now, if he did that, don't you think he'll do everything else we need? It's almost like a give me, ain't it?
Mm-hmm.
And then here it is. We talk about it. We talk about this election imparts comfort. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Now, if you know what you really are, and you have reason to believe that you're one of these people he's talking about,
yeah.
Bless our little old hearts. That's comforting.
Yes, sir.
Ain't it?
Yeah.
Because the truth is, we know in and of ourselves. We have things. We deserve to have many, many, many things laid to our charge.
Exactly.
We are guilty.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But God is not just clearing us of guilt.
No.
He goes even further than that. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that not just defendeth.
No.
Right? It is God that justifieth. He is taking people who are guilty, and yet he is actively, justly, and in mercy and compassion justifying these people.
That's right.
Now, if that don't comfort you, you've missed something.
Yeah.
You've missed something.
That's it.
Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. And then, who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died.
Yeah.
Yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us.
Amen.
The election imparts comfort, don't it?
Mm-hmm.
When you believe it.
Yes, sir.
When you believe it. The election imparts comfort. Let me go on to say, I got a little bit more time. I said next that the election imparts courage. Well, you can just turn over a page, or they're pretty close to it. It is in my Bible here. Romans chapter 10. The election imparts courage. Now I will use that. I changed the word in a little. That was my own word. But it still applies. But here's the way the Apostle Paul puts it. Verse 20 of Romans 10. But Esaias, there he's talking about Isaiah. I think we all know that. But Esaias is very bold.
Amen.
You see that? Mason, I call that courage.
Yeah.
Right? But Esaias is very bold. Now, it's one thing to say it. You know, it's one thing to talk about some things, but when you begin to see the election, it's one thing to be bold about some of the truth. It's one thing to be bold about the virgin birth.
Yeah.
A lot of people are.
Oh, yeah.
There are a lot of people that are bold about the virgin birth, but they hate the election.
Yes, sir.
Yep. Now, that's not to diminish from the virgin birth.
No.
But let me tell you something. There's a lot of people who are in absolute error who will defend the deity of Jesus Christ. But then they don't even know what deity is.
Exactly.
When it comes to the election, they deny deity the right to be the deity.
Exactly.
Go figure. I'm saying that election, understood, when you begin to see it, God, well, let me put it in better scriptural language, when you believe it.
Yes.
When you believe that this, my God, is an electing God.
Yes, sir.
He has that right. And not only does he have the right, he's done it. You can be very bold.
Yes.
Now, I'm not saying we'll all be doing this like I'm doing. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying, and what most people think of, you see here, what most people think, well, you become a great soul winner then, looking for the elect. We can even make it good and theological, can't we?
Oh, yeah.
Huh? Now, that's not what Esaias is talking about. That's not the boldness Esaias had.
No.
It's talking about boldness to speak the truth about God and His grace.
Amen.
That's the main thing. But Esaias is very bold and saith, I was found of them that sought me not.
Amen.
I was made manifest unto them that asked not after me. Now somebody said, well, I don't say nothing about election. Well, you evidently got a blind spot. Well, that's saying, that screams out election.
Yes, sir.
That screams it out right there in different language, different words.
Yes, sir.
That says election, David. Election. And it says election by grace.
Yes, sir.
No, man.
Amen.
I was found. Now you think about this. This is actually a contradiction.
Yeah. Yeah.
And to man's mind, election is a contradiction.
Yes, sir.
Election is a blessing, but to man's mind, it's a curse.
Yeah.
Huh? Right? Election is exactly opposite of what man would want.
Yeah, exactly.
Until he gets it. Yeah. Then he's glad he's got it.
Yes, sir.
But Esaias is very bold. Here is heady language. And saith, I was found of them that sought me not. Well, it doesn't mean they really didn't seek. Yeah, it means I was found of them that did not seek after me.
Amen.
Yeah.
That's it.
I was made manifest unto them that didn't even ask after me.
Yeah.
Somebody got what they didn't even want.
That's right.
Right? Wasn't even looking for it.
Exactly.
Right?
Amen.
That's election.
Amen.
That's God. That's His grace.
Yes, sir.
And I know I like to interject this, but that's not fair. That's why we're not talking about fairness here. We're talking about election.
Exactly.
That's the whole point.
That's it.
If God was fair, He wouldn't just send men to the lake of fire. He'd dance around the pit while He did it.
Exactly. That's right.
If He was fair. Matter of fact, there's an odd passage in the Bible. It's in the last part of Isaiah. I'll leave it for you to look it up yourself. But it talks about in the end time. It's odd. It talks about in the end time. It would indicate to me that the righteous have clear knowledge, maybe even sight, of the people in the bottomless pit. Look it up. Odd language.
Yeah.
Our God is not what we would make Him out to be.
Exactly.
If we had that option. You know that?
Yeah, that's it.
And what is this heady language? This language is God has the right to give us rules and laws and demand we abide by them, but He can break every one of them.
That's right.
In fact, He's not breaking anything because He is under no law. I should say, he doesn't even hold himself even accountable to those things.
That's it.
Somebody said again, that's not fair. He's not the God of fairness. Find it. Where that's in 5, come up from 64 and 800.
Yeah.
My God is a fair God. It goes almost like along like our God is an awesome God.
Yeah, exactly.
Now that's not even a bad thing. He is awesome. I just don't like that word because it's so used so flippantly today. But they say our God, the song says our God is an awesome God, and then in their doctrine they turn around and deny it.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
They turn around and deny that he's an awesome God. Because to them, who he really is ain't awesome.
Yeah.
Who he really is sovereign. He's God. So, we can say that the election imparts courage. Got a few more minutes. We can also say, turn to Isaiah chapter 55. I hope that's right. I think it is. We said the election imparts comfort, the election imparts courage, but also said the election imparts hope.
Yes.
Now, there's a lot of different areas here we could talk about this, the election imparting hope, but I just chose this one. And for the sake of time, I'm just hitting. Remember, this is the introduction, after all. Election imparts hope. Isaiah 55, mainly verse 10 and 11. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth in bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it.
Amen.
Now that's hope, ain't it?
That's
hope for me. When I understand that God Almighty chose, and I'll use another word, use more often, it's more, I say scriptural, I'm talking about English version scriptural. When you realize that God purposed things to absolutely come to pass, and you realize that God Almighty says, my word's going to go out, and it'll accomplish everything I've purposed for it to do, that brings hope.
Yes.
I used to be, or try to be, a soul winner. And you know what? I hated that more than anything else I was supposed to do for God. You know, I'm serious now. All I know, everybody thought, well, Walter's the preacher, boy, he goes out and does it all the time. I hated doing it. Because I was forcing myself to go into people's homes who didn't even want me to be there. They hadn't called me. They hadn't showed any interest. I was barging in, and I'm going to tell you about God and how you can get your life right.
Yeah.
Huh? That was a miserable occupation for my God then. Mm-hmm. You know, it was miserable. But now, when God sends forth His Word, I may not even know it. And I'm walking through life, and I'm doing my regular thing and serving God, going to work and coming home and fixing meals and cleaning the house. And I go to work, and I try to do the best of my ability there. And you try to do everything as unto the Lord. And all of a sudden, somebody mentioned something about the Bible and asked you a question about it.
Yeah.
And it's no longer that. I don't feel the same way about it.
Exactly.
Like I did back there doing all that soul winning. Mm-hmm. You know? Oh, I remember Oh, we care about men's souls. And I hated going to see every one of them.
That's it.
You know?
You're right.
God, it's one of the things. God, why are you making me do this? I know I've got to.
Yeah.
You know, but now there is hope when you talk to somebody. Because I know if they're one of God's, somewhere, they might not hear my word. They might not hear me saying it. But somewhere along the line, God's word is going to lay hold of them. It's going to bring them around. And I also know that I don't have to be eloquent. I don't have to be forceful.
Yeah.
I don't have to use some emotional ploy.
Yeah.
Because if they're not one of God's, His Word's still going to accomplish in them what it was pleased.
Amen.
And it's still going to accomplish it.
Yes, sir.
It's still not going to be a waste of His Word.
Exactly.
Is it? Still won't be. It will accomplish the thing whereunto I sent it. Let me tell you something too. We don't bring it to people. God sends it to people.
Yeah.
We need to remember that. Yes, we can water. Yes, we can sow. Mm-hmm. Most of us now water. They ain't none of us doing any real sowing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Sowing is when you go in and put the original plant, the original seed in. Most people's already heard the Word of God.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? All we're doing is coming along water. Now, that's not to say it never could happen or doesn't, but most of what we're doing is water. But either one, whether we plant seed or whether we water, who gives the increase? God does. Always. And somebody said, well, I got the water. No, you don't got the water. He'll have somebody else water. Don't you say, I got the water. Somebody's going to water, but I don't got the water. God is not depending on me. He's depending on himself. And if I think I'm so important, he made us, let me see how important I really am. And let's go over here and use somebody else. That brings you hope, though. Huh? It brings you hope. Oh, I know if you're a great soul winner, that don't make you feel real well. But nevertheless, that's our God. So the election imparts comfort. The election imparts courage. The election imparts hope. And this come out at a half. Okay, I'll just end right here. The election imparts praise to God. We've already looked at that, right? But see, when you, I'll just refer you back to what we've already talked about. Ephesians 1, verses 3 and 4. And 2 Thessalonians 2:13. When you actually, God teaches you, I am the God of election.
Yes, sir.
It causes you to praise him.
Yes, sir.
Don't it? It causes you to say, I am bound to give thanks. It causes you to say, blessed be God.
Amen.
Now, he is blessed.
Yes, sir.
And he's thanked, even if he has to thank himself. He's going to have his thanks, and he's going to have his blessing.
Yes, sir.
But he's been pleased in revealing these things to us to get a little bit of that from us as well. You know?
That's right.
That his creatures will offer up praise to him. You know what? He deserves that.
Amen.
Don't he?
That's
he it. Deserves that. Father, I pray that as we part our ways here, that we may still in our hearts and minds be knit together in thinking on one another. I think of Calvin and, of course, others. Lord, please be with them in this time, in his family and others with difficulties and troubles. God, help us to stand not just behind one another, but with one another. I ask it in God's name. Amen.